What is heaven? When we begin our journey in the Christian life, our hope is that we will eventually reach heaven. All of the Christian life is aimed at this one goal. But what is heaven? What happens when we die? And what will we be able to do when we get there? Heaven is not heaven without God. He is the real reason why we want to get there. It's not just that we will experience intense pleasure and heavenly bliss for all eternity. The main experience we will have of heaven is the encounter with the God who made us. All of us have been created with a longing for complete union with the Father. It's like an itch that we can't satisfy with anything other than God. And so our hope is not just for the pleasure experienced by those who enter heaven and find that, as it says in Revelation 21, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain any more, for the former things have passed away. We're not just hoping for that blessed state. We're hoping in a person. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. And this is the true bliss of heaven, complete union with the one who created us out of love. So what do we know about the life and the hereafter? When we die and are judged according to how we have led our life, our soul goes to heaven, hell or purgatory, each of which is a physical place. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the way in which a spiritual thing, for example a soul, can inhabit a physical place like heaven is not clear to us, but the fact that it does so is certain. Heaven, hell and purgatory are special places with definite limits, not within the earth, but according to Scripture, beyond its limits. All further details regarding where they are located are unknown, and the Church has nothing further to say on this. In heaven, the just will see God directly, clearly and distinctly. To enable us to see God, God will supernaturally perfect our ability to see. The beatific vision in which God opens himself in an inexhaustible way to the elect will be what the Catechism calls the ever-flowing wellspring of happiness, peace, and mutual communion. That beatific vision cannot be attained through the power of created nature, of angels as well as of men, but is granted by God. Although we will see God, we will not fully understand him as he understands himself. We will no longer be able to commit even the slightest venial sin because every wish, impulse and decision will be inspired by love of God. In heaven, there will not be the least pain or sadness. We will delight in the company of Christ, the angels and the saints, and in the reunion with so many who were dear to us on earth. We will see each other and rejoice in the company of those whom death has separated from us. We will love God for his own sake and rejoice in him because of his infinite goodness, but also because he is the source of our happiness, which will be everlasting. We will rejoice over the supernatural virtues that adorn our soul. We will derive great pleasure from the contemplation of all those things, both created and possible, which we see in God. And after the last judgment, the new heaven and the new earth will give us particular joy. And we will at last understand all the mysteries that we believed while on earth. We also know that heaven is a place where every tear will be wiped away. The pain of loss, bereavement, disenfranchisement, poverty, persecution and injustice, drought and famine will be taken away. The pain of humiliation, of being bullied by another, of personal hurt, irrevocable loss, insult and rejection will be obliterated. The stains of our sin, our sexual impurity, our ruthlessness, our unfairness to our family, friends and neighbours, our self-destruction through alcohol, drugs, lust, our violent temper, our smouldering rage, our cruelty, our murder, either directly or through character assassination, our vengefulness, our backbiting and gossip, blasphemy and sacrilege, our dishonesty, avarice and lying, and all the things that make us despise ourselves will be burnt up in the crucible of God's love. All of the suffering from our physical and mental illness, our doubt and fear, our psychological tortures, the terrors of the night, the hunted feeling, persecution by devils, the pain of maiming, wounds, injuries, viral sickness, arthritic conditions, skin complaints, organ malfunctions, cancer, AIDS, and every other disease of the body or mind will be healed instantaneously by Christ's healing touch as he reaches out his hand and says, "Think no more about that." And in their place, what? A world of a new dawn, like being born all over again. We will awaken on that blessed morning, free at last. Nothing will trouble our minds. We will walk with Christ and know God as he truly is, not in our earthly, shadowy way, but looking at him full in the face. And we will see in his returning gaze only love, unconditional and pure, overwhelming and profound and directed fully upon us. It will be a new day, more glorious, ravishing and bracing than we could ever even come close to grasping in this life. And within us, we will feel that sense of fulfillment that at last makes us laugh with sheer exuberance and exclaim, "I was made for this." All of our family members who have passed on to heaven before us will come en masse to greet us, and we will look at them in amazement and see them as they really are. Their joy will be complete as they welcome us, the one we've all been praying for, into their company. Our friends will be there, and we will see hitherto unimagined depths to their characters. There will be no embarrassment or awkwardness or suspicion or the distance of otherness that always existed in our relationship. We will be united together at a level we never thought possible, even for our closest earthly friendships. Our spouse, sons, daughters, mother, father, brothers and sisters will be there to greet us, and that too will be like a coming home to the bright hearth of comfort and of consolation after the years of toil. There will be a heavenly feast, just like there was for the prodigal son. The Father himself will order the festivities, and all because you have arrived and you have come home. It will be just like that parable in Luke chapter 15. The Father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." With all this in mind, maybe we need to ask ourselves some tough questions. How much of a priority is it for me to get to heaven? If I want to get to heaven, what am I doing about it? Am I leading the kind of life that will prepare me for entry into the heavenly courts, or do I straddle the world and the kingdom of God? How much is my sin an obstacle to reaching my final destination with God? Let's today recommit ourselves to living a life of virtue and pursuing the narrow path towards holiness. Let's pray. Father God, you created me out of love. You created me to be fully united with you in heaven. Give me the grace to lead a virtuous life. Help me to give up the false comforts that this world offers and instead choose you, Help me to conform my life to the values of your kingdom and to place you first in my life. Give me the grace to die in your favor so that I may be welcomed into heaven and live with you forever. Amen.